Blog Talk Radio.
My weehiv can talk in a special way. There are some things they help me say. Hello, come here, is it okay? Nice to meet you, how are you today?
Welcome to WeHands Radio. Learn to connect with your baby, toddler, and preschool child. I'm your host, Sarah Bingham. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the WeHands Radio Show. I am Sarah Bingham, the founder of WeHands and the author of the Baby Signing Book. Welcome to our wee little show. Today, we are going to chat about some wonderful things. What I love that what we do with WeHands is we're all about connecting with baby and with your children, toddlers and preschoolers. And I love that we can use this show to connect with more and more parents who are interested in using sign language with their babies and are really interested in the development of their little ones. So we are going to chat today, not about sign language, but we're going to talk about child development. Some of the great individuals that I get to chat with are speech language pathologists, occupational therapists, educators, and physiotherapists who are working with little ones. And today I get to speak with one of those little, not so little ones. I get to speak with a wonderful therapist who is working out of Toronto. I'm going to be talking with Irini Dadbasta-Rose, and she's going to correct me if I'm mispronouncing her name. Irini is a physiotherapist with Children's Support Solutions in Toronto, and we're going to chat today about tips for parents. Irini, are you there?
I am there.
Wonderful. How do you correctly say your last name, please?
It's Dadbasta-Rose, but Gad is fine. It's a long married name. I usually just keep my maiden name for that purpose, actually. So Gad is fine.
I just wanted to make sure that we were sending it out there correctly. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I know you've got a busy schedule seeing your little ones.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. Absolutely.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about, before we talk about the awesome work that you do, tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what you were like as a little one.
Where did I grow up? Well, I was born in this beautiful city of Toronto, and I think my parents would probably say that I was a little bit mischievous. You know, I was the type of child that would get lost in the mall pretty frequently and like to explore. You can ask my mom what I was like as a teenager, but we probably won't go there. But as a little one, yeah, definitely like to explore, try to do things and fall head first, which a lot of our little ones do as well. But I think that's the best way to learn. I definitely did not want to be held back in any shape, way, or form. And it's too bad that we can't all stay young. Still have that curiosity and, you know, that fearlessness.
Absolutely. Well, yes, 100%. I think that's a whole other show that we could probably do. And I love what you're doing as a physiotherapist. And I know a little bit about your work, but how do you introduce yourself when you're, I know that you've got two little kids, two or three kids?
I've got two.
Yay. Yeah. When you're out and about with them, yep. Aside from being just mom, how do you introduce mm-hmm. yourself and tell people what you do?
With parents that I meet?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yes.
I honestly, I typically don't ever lead with the fact that I'm a therapist. I do believe that parents are their children's best avenue for learning. You know, I think I always tell my patients as well, like, just listen to mom's instinct or parent's instinct and go with that. So I don't ever try to lead with the fact that I'm a therapist. Sometimes if there's a specific question or whatever and it seems like, you know, I can speak to it and they ask me specifically, I will say, you know, that I know a little bit about development. But, I don't try to be, you know, that parent on the playground that it's saying, well, your child really should be doing this. I think every child is different and nobody knows their children best than, you know, the parents themselves.
I'm just thinking about when you are on a playground with your little ones, are you able to turn off the physiotherapy brain? when you're working with other kids?
You know what? It's really hard. I will be perfectly honest. You know, we want our kids to do everything that they're supposed to do whenever they're supposed to do it, at the right time, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you do. You tend to be a little bit more self-competitive with your kids, I should say.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn it off, but I think my husband's pretty good at reminding me that, you know, you're just mom right now. And every child is different. They have different personalities. You know, my eldest one is a little bit more, he's not as much of a risk taker as my younger. I don't have to worry about my younger one at all when it comes to gross motor. If anything, I have to worry about him doing too much and killing himself on the playground. And the other one, you know, keeps up. He's doing just fine. I just have to remember, let him explore, let him do his own stuff. He'll figure it out.
It's amazing, that reminder of that all children are so different. You got two kids, they came from the same place, but they're so remarkably different. Constantly remind ourselves of that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So your work as a physiotherapist, how long have you been practicing as a physiotherapist?
I've been practicing it's going to be 10 years this year, believe it or not. So time just flies in a blink.
It does. And tell me about the little ones that you're working with.
So I see a wide variety of clients. I see them as young as, you know, a couple weeks old, to all the way to, you know, the teenage years of, I mean, my oldest client right now, pediatric-based client, is 18. So, you know, for a variety of issues, you know, a lot of the older kids, it tends to be like gait related or posture related, or they just need a top up of some suggestions that they can do now because they have been seen by lots of different therapies and therapists and places, and they just need to revamp, you know, as they transition through the different periods of their life and are maybe going on to university or whatever. They need, I think, more functional, more realistic, more I guess techniques to make them appear like they're kind of just blending in, as opposed to, you know, really working on that acute skill, which is something that we do with the younger kids. I see sort of a wide range of ages and stages, which makes this job so awesome.
And you mentioned the youngest. What kind of things would you do with an infant?
So typically the infants that we get here it's related to just the way that they've been usually packed in utero, or some issues that they've had through the delivery process, whether they've had to be vacuumed out or forcepsed out. So they tend to have issues with their shoulder or their neck, usually it's just a tightness in the muscle, which is called a torticollis. Sometimes also when you have a little tiny newborn, your first time parent, you don't realize how important it is to do tummy time and to keep them off their back during waking hours as much as possible. Their necks are really weak, so it tends to sort of fall off into, a posture of sort of the path of least resistance, and they tend to develop a tightness on one side and maybe a bit of a baby flathead, which sometimes can become an issue. So the young ones that I see, those are typically the things that have been picked up by the pediatrician.
I think that is so interesting. Well, of course, because I see so many babies, and I remember I was at a show a couple of years ago, and I was talking to the mom, but I noticed, just without having any background in this at all, mm-hmm. This baby was looking to one side, and I
yep.
purposely kind of moved around the mom and was waving my hands around because that's what I do. And the baby was not moving his neck at all, his or her neck, I can't
yep.
remember.
Yep.
But yes, I would have liked to have had you at my side at that point in time.
Yeah.
Had a very stiff neck.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple of those babies in the mall and, you know, in the elevator and stuff like that, in their car seats, you know, and it's very, very hard to hold your tongue. Sometimes, you know, you just have to do it in a little bit of a gentle way, and you know, you just kind of tell them, oh, you know, does baby always look to that side, or they're so cute when they just kind of fall off into that position, and you start a conversation that way, depending on if the person wants to chat. Sometimes, you know, right away it's a closed door, typically follow the parent's lead, I think, is the best way when it comes to that stuff.
think that's such an important lesson for anybody who is working with families. And that actually leads me to my next question, especially because the range of little ones is so wide for you. Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in all of the work that you've done for the last 10 years?
You know what? I think the biggest lesson is that parents, regardless, you know, their walks of life, their educational background, demographics, all this stuff, they try their best, you know. They really do try their best. You know, in the beginning of my younger years, you know, I would always be astonished by those parents that, you know, they have a home program, they have quite a mild problem, and then they just don't seem to be keeping up to the exercises as to the frequency that I would have liked. You know what? You just come to realize as you get a little more years of experience, parents try their best. They have a lot on their plate. If it's a more severe issue, they have to go through all the stages of coping with the diagnosis of their child, and they just might not be ready to commit to it the way that, you know, you would like them to. So it's a constant sort of educational process, talking to them about it. Sometimes I've learned that my therapy sessions are not always, okay, this is the gross motor assessment, this is what you have to do, exercise 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, treatment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sometimes it's actually an emotional therapy lesson whereby parents just want that objective person to sort of break down in front of, cry in front of, talk to. You know, everybody else has been giving them so much, do this, the physicians are telling them, do that. So, yeah, parents really do try their best, and I think sometimes they just need a little bit of a gentle ear to try to really understand what their home environment looks like, what their challenges are in terms of accessing and doing. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say, I think I mentioned it before, is listen to your parents' intuition. I don't think if you listen to it that it will ever fail you. You know your client the best. You know your child the best. Physicians will tell you on birth sometimes. I've had a lot of clients say, you know, as soon as I delivered that baby, the physicians came in with this really sad look on their face saying, your child will unfortunately be a vegetable, will probably never walk, will probably never talk, so we got to get all those systems in place for you, you know, to start dealing with these your stages of grief and the equipment that you'll need and social work and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that child goes on to actually do all those things, whereby it might be, you know, albeit assisted, but they do it in a functional way that they can keep up and interact with the family unit. And that's in large part due to the tenacity of parents who just don't give up when they've heard a negative piece of news, and they go and they find that alternative therapy, and they go and they travel to the different clinics, and they try things that the physicians say, oh, that's just not scientifically based, and they just push through. So, you know, the parents' intuition is huge. I think those are the two things that I have learned.
I just love it. I'm just quickly typing that up, so then I'm going to send that out to the Twitter world and beyond. You definitely have so much experience as a physiotherapist and working for 10 years, but you sound like you've got an incredibly big heart, and I'm so happy to have chatted with you. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. You know what? Kids are resilient. You know, they're not. It's the adults that have a hard time dealing with, you know, the challenges that kids have and other people around them. You know, if you look at a child with disabilities, I mean, they are just so happy in their space, and they learn to do things in the way that's normal for them. You know, they don't care what the normal looks like, and kids are. Also, the other thing is kids are very plastic, you know, when they're quite young, apparently. Their brain, there's a lot of neuroplasticity in the brain. So even a child that is told that they will be a vegetable, that they will, you know, probably not be able to, you know, interact in the world as you know, parents would like, they end up doing those things because the brain has an incredible ability to remodel and remold itself. So, you know, that's a huge component. A lot of it has to do with the drive of the actual child. And when they're uninhibited and when they're go-getters and they have this propensity for movement, it's very easy for the brain to make those gains. And as I was saying, I mean, I kind of went out on a tangent, but I wanted to say that because the drive of the parents and the, you know, the committedness of the parents to their child's functional potential is huge, and it always does astonish me. So it's not really, I guess it's not really about having a big heart. It's really about being so overwhelmed and surprised and astonished in a good way continually by these children that are just so amazing, you know, and the parents that hold them up. I mean, that's their unit. Their challenges are not easy ones to face on a day-to-day basis, especially with kids that have equipment and mobility issues. Parents, they do it one foot in front of the other, and they go, and they will not give up on their children, and it's a huge lesson for all of us.
That's fantastic. I'm sitting here just smiling because I love everything that you're saying. You can definitely tell you're a parent as well.
It does change you, for sure. It does change you. You think you know everything when you have children, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe not.
I think having your own kids is one of the best and biggest developmental courses you could ever take.
For sure. I agree with you.
Now, as a therapist or a parent, do you have a favorite parenting book or a parenting resource that you love?
That's a really good question. Not really. I mean, I think that you have to kind of see what your style of parenting is and your style of learning is, and the style of your children's learning, and then just do the appropriate research. I mean, there isn't one resource that I really loved. I mean, I read some of Dr. Sears' advice, you know, that pediatrician, that famous pediatrician from the States.
Yeah.
I used his book a lot for when I was a very inexperienced mom for my children, for my first babies. Coughs and colds and sleeplessness and all that kind of stuff. That's the only resource I'd say, you know, like I consulted religiously. But everything else, I think you kind of go based on what your need is at that present time and understand that those needs might evolve based on your transitions and the different stages of the kids and the personalities of the kids. Can't stress enough, like, just really getting to know your child as a whole entity and respecting the person that they are and the way they like to learn and the way they like to not learn as well, you know.
How do you, in doing what you do, how do you motivate the little ones that you're working with and maybe not so little ones to work on what they need to do in physiotherapy?
Yeah, that's always a huge challenge. It's a very much a work in progress. For the kids that love movement and will not be stopped, it's pretty easy. You know, you just kind of make things harder and stronger and tell them, you know, how fast they are and how let's do this in let's timing works and races work and all that kind of stuff. For the kids that aren't so interested in moving, it's a little more challenging. I think you have to find out what they're into and use it. So for the girls that are around, you know, just, you know, the young girls, I say between the ages of like, you know, 3 to 10, this Frozen movie trend has been huge. So any Frozen gear that we can have in the gym works awesome. Boys, I don't know, I haven't found the equivalent, to be honest, but, you know, they're just typical trucks and cars and stuff. So we try to make all the equipment and things that we use in the gym very kid-friendly with the bright primary colors, using the latest, like, characters that the kids are interested in. So, that's how we can motivate. I think when you don't make it as work, you make it into a game, and you use the that thing that they're really into. If it's a book, oh, I'll let you have 5 minutes of, you know, time to just do whatever you want in the gym or do these exercises and we'll sing together at the end. Or, you know, for the really young ones, I find singing songs through the therapy sometimes helps. And I'll be completely honest, when we're doing the more difficult handling therapy, like the CME method and stuff like that, there's usually nothing that helps because they're just so, their sensory system is overly challenged at that point. So you just kind of got to get through it. And parents, you know, you have to have that chat with them at the beginning that this is what the therapy will look like. You know, some parents can handle the crying, others can't. And you have to sort of, you know, tailor your therapy accordingly.
Wow. It sounds like your tool bag is very, very deep.
No, it needs to, you know what, the children, they just, you know, they flick from one thing to the next that you have to keep on top of it. It's a good thing that my kids are young enough that I kind of am in the little preschool, school-aged world right now, but when they get older, I don't know, I'll have to keep my eye abreast to all the shows and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's important because you got to connect with them. They are people, yeah.
And that's what's motivating. Wow, thank you so much. I know you have to fly because you've got a therapy session coming up very soon. If parents are interested in getting to know more about what you're doing with Children's Support Solutions, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can certainly go on to the Children's Support Solutions website and look at all the clinic sites. I work out of the Toronto Clinic, but I also do some consultations for the Thornhill Clinic, the Aurora Clinic as well. So you can look at this, you know, the locations that are appropriate. And you can also contact me by email. It's my first name dot my long hyphenated name, gadbasteros@mornochapelle.com. Drop me a line. I'll be happy to chat or answer any questions or make the appropriate referrals for you.
Wonderful. I'm going to include the links on our podcast so we can share that with everybody. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today, Rini.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I love the work that you're doing as well, Sarah.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful and very fun, motivating session.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Have a great one.
You too. Oh my goodness. Wow, what a big heart. And I just love what she's doing. Today I had the pleasure of chatting with Irini Gadbasteros. I did it. She is a physiotherapist with Morna Chappelle's Children's Support Solutions. She has a master's of physiotherapy from McMaster University and a bachelor of kinesiology as well. Remember, you can follow me. I'm at WeHands on Twitter. You can also check out the Children's Support Solutions website, and I'll share that with everybody. Please join me next time when we talk more about baby sign language, child development, helping parents help their children. I think this is just a wonderful thing that we can share what we're doing with parents. Since 2001, WeHands has been around, and we are a children's sign language and language development program, and we have fun classes that we teach throughout North America. And in 2014, WeHands became part of Morna Chappelle's Children's Support Solutions, and that's an organization that provides health-centered and educational services to children with differences to help them reach their potential. We are just about out of time for this week, but I want to thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, I'm Sarah Bingham, WeHands founder and author of the Baby Signing Book. You can email me at info@wehands.com if you've got any questions or would like to hear about other wonderful services for parents on our podcast. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.